This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Yeah, you can just use that one if you want. And I'm not sure if anyone, where is our person who does the, do you don't know what the boats are going to look like? All right. Actually, I'll just put it away today. Today I'll just put it away. So today we will be covering maybe a little bit of Surat al-A'raf, whatever's left of it. It's not a lot, a couple of pages. And then the entirety of Surat al-Anfal, and then the first 33 verses of Surat al-Tawbah. And tomorrow we will actually finish we'll conclude the first 10 juzu and the first cluster of surahs of the Quran, which is from al-Baqarah to at-Tawbah. And if you've listened to my older recordings, I used to call this the second cluster, and I used to consider Fatiha its own. And I don't do that anymore. I dropped that. Fatiha is its own entity, and then there's 12 clusters of surahs in the Quran. So 12. I have 12 categories of the name of Allah, so I don't know, the number seems to be working out for me in terms of categorization. So this first cluster from Al-Baqarah to At-Tawbah tells the story of our faith, and today I get to actually point out the last two pieces of the puzzle for you. Surat Al-A'raf, as I pointed out yesterday, it talks about the salvation of communities, which comes through the the decisiveness and the removal of indifference. Which is different. As individuals, it's iman. That's your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what you need. You need an iman, which is going to be internalization of the theology and then practices. You need the adherence or obedience of his commands. A'raf is different. A'raf is talking about communities. Communities show their obedience differently. It's through the lack of indifference, meaning people care. You have to care. You have to actually prioritize things. And then you cannot be, communities have to be decisive. They have to take stands. There has to be laws and rules that govern them. Or it can't be just suggestions or encouragements. It has to actually be something much more decisive, which is what Surat Al-A'raf talks about. And that's why it goes through all the stories of the Anbiya, which we heard yesterday, last night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about all the stories of the Anbiya and how the people around them just lacked that decisiveness. It was the other group. It was the alladhina kafaru, or al-mala'u alladhina istakbaru, the people who were arrogant or the people who disbelieved, who had that decisiveness, and the followers didn't, and then it caused their demise or caused their punishment. And of course, the story of Musa is the epic example of a group of people who lacked decisiveness, which is Banu Israel with Musa alayhi salam. They could not be decisive about, and they could not get rid of their indifference. And just that, every time you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about the disbelievers in Surah Al-A'raf, you always, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَكَانُوا عَنْهَا غَافِلِينَ You don't find that repetition anywhere else aside from Surah Al-A'raf because of that problem of indifference. Surah Al-Anfal is the law of success, laws of victory. And I spent a good maybe 9 weeks or 10 weeks or so giving khutbahs on this topic, but that's what it talks about. It moves on to the next step. So here's, and I'll walk you through this in a moment. You figured out what societies need to do to, in order for them to establish the proper relationship. It has to be that decisiveness, it has to be lack of indifference. Well, now here are the laws that you need to follow in order for you to prevail. In order for you to prosper, here are the laws that you need to follow. It's a short surah. Any surah in the Quran that talks about laws is short, like Surah Al-Ra'd, which I'm doing after Fajr on weekends. It's very short, 6 pages. It's not very long, because laws are boring, and no one likes to read about rules or laws. So they come in a very concise manner. And the same thing goes for Surah Al-Anfal. Amongst all these mass mega surahs that are surrounded by mega surahs, all of them are beyond the juz'. All of them. Every single surah that we recited so far is beyond a full juz'. Baqarah is 2.5. Shy of 1 page. And then Ali Imran, I think, is 27 pages, which is a juzu and 7 pages. Nisa is a juzu and 9 pages. Right? Al-Ma'idah is a juzu and 3 pages, I want to say. And then Surah Al-An'am, a juzu and 5 pages. And then A'raf, a juzu and 6 pages. And the Tawbah is a juzu and 1 page. And then in the middle of them is Anfal, half a juzu, 10 pages. So it's way shorter. But the reason it's there is because of this continuity, because of the story it tells. It talks to you about the laws. Here's what you have to do to succeed, and here's what you have to avoid to succeed. These laws are golden rules. And if you study, that's why I did 10 weeks of just talking about. I didn't cover all of these laws, by the way. I just chose those that I thought were important to us. Amongst them, unity. Amongst them, adherence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ruling. Amongst them, the preparation. Amongst them, the strength of iman that exists within the group, and amongst them the munasara, the advocacy. All of these were talked about in Surah Al-Anfal in some degree of depth. And that's what it tells you. It just goes for, and it does that through the story of the Battle of Badr, because Badr was the epic or the epitome of their success. At least that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines it or describes it. And it tells the story through the, it talks about the laws of success through Badr, but not in the way you would think by praising the Sahaba because of Badr. No, by pointing out all the mistakes that happened on the day of Badr. By talking about the mistakes, and when they succeeded and they were victorious, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed out all the mistakes. Here's how I saved you. Here's the things that almost went wrong but didn't. Here's what you have to make sure you don't do next time. And that's how you're supposed to deal with success. Success, when you're good at something, you go back and you don't celebrate it. Well, maybe if you want to, fine. But really what you have to do is go back and look at what went wrong. If ever there's an experience or an innovation or a startup project that is successful, make sure that the first step afterwards is going back and look at what went wrong. That's how you learn. Or else how do you make it better next time? If you just celebrate the victory that, oh, it was amazing, alhamdulillah, great, it worked out really nicely, and then and that's the end of it. That means you have left no room for improvement. And if you haven't left room for improvement, then what's the point? You've set yourself on the track towards failure. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Always. If you're not getting better, you're getting worse at all times. This is a law of the universe. You have to make sure that you're improving. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala critiques the Sahaba in the Battle of Badr. And it's something worthy of contemplation. And the surah after it, which is the final surah within this continuum, is Surah Al-Tawbah. And Surah Al-Tawbah talks about organizing the relationships of Muslims with their counterparts, whether it's the munafiqeen that exist within their nation, or it's their enemies outside of their nation, traitors or foreign nations that continue to pose threats, or nations around them that they are at peace with. So Surah Al-Tawbah explains, here's how you're going to organize as a nation your relationships politically and non-politically with the people amongst you and around you. So let's zoom out and look at these 10 ajza. These 8 surahs do the following. Starting with Al-Baqarah and kind of moving down the line. Here's what you're on. You are a khalifa. You're a steward, you're a caregiver. Here are the stories of all the caregivers that came before you, the ones who did really well and the ones who did not. Here's what you're going to use in order for you to fulfill your purpose as a caregiver. The methodology is called Islam. Here's what you're going to do. I'm going to cover it all for you. Next step. You need to maintain and protect your way. If you don't, it will collapse. You need to maintain it and protect it from external threats that will come from the outside, which is the first half of Ali Imran. And then here's how you protect it from internal threats that will cause it to collapse and demise from the inside, which is the second half of Ali Imran. After you've done that, here are the values and the principles and the ethics that guide all of your choices and guide all of the rulings that exist within your faith. Here are the basic values that are required in order for this faith to exist. Here's the value system that you need. And that's what goes with Surah Nisa. It talks about all the three core values and all of the other main values of Islam. After you've done that, here's the next step. Take the pen, sign the contracts. All ya ayyuhalladhina amanu wa Surah Al-Ma'idah. Here's all the things that you need to do. 15 or 16 in a row. You need to do this, don't do this, do that, practice like this, learn this. And you just take that pen and awfu bil uqud, and you sign the contract and you fulfill your covenants. After you've done that, it explains to you, here's the basis of the relationship that you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an individual in Surah Al-An'am. It's called Iman. Here's what it is. Here's why you're doing what you're doing. Here's why you're going to do it, because you have a personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Iman. And here's what the relationship looks like when it's transferred into a community in Surah Al-A'raf. And that will, Iman there will look differently. It won't just be a theology in practice. It will present itself in the form of decisiveness and lack of indifference, and the removal of indifference and oblivion. The next step is going to be the laws that will allow you to continue to succeed. And once you know those laws and you practice them, here are the relationships that you need to organize with the people around you in order for you to continue to exist. And that's what these surahs tell. This is the continuum of the first 10 juz'a of the 8 surahs of the Qur'an. It tells us exactly what we need. It's almost like, what do you need the 20 juz'a after for? But there are obviously good reasons for why these 20 juz'a exist and what they teach as well. But those first 10 juz'a, the first third of the Quran tells you, it flows through the story of the faith and how you're going to do it. What you're required to do, how you're going to do it, what the values are, what the buy-in is, what the relationship looks like, what your interest in your community has to be, the laws that you're going to require in order for you to succeed, and then how you organize your relationships with people around you. Not everyone's like you, not everyone may agree with you, but you have to figure out a way to work it all out. And that's what Surah, these first 10 juz'a talk about. And tonight we get to listen to the last piece of Surah Al-A'raf that reminds us of the importance of community. That salvation comes through communities, it does not come through individuals. Surah Al-Anfal, we get to listen to the whole thing as it gives us the laws of success and the laws of Nasr. And then we get to hear the first part of Surah Al-Tawbah that starts to organize these relationships that we have within our communities. Talking about munafiqeen, talking about kuffar, talking about mushrikeen, talking about foreign lands, talking about traders, talking about all of these people and how we're supposed to deal with them differently. And that's the gist of the first 10 juz'a. Tomorrow we'll enter a new cluster of surahs, and then things will change quite a bit because the focus will be a little bit different. It'll be a little more specific and a little bit more sidetracked. So let's start with ayah number 170 from Surah Al-A'raf. All right.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. والذين يمسكون بالكتاب وأقاموا الصلاة إنا لا نضيع أجر المصلحين.
So this is one of my most beloved verses in Surah Al-A'raf. It says, والذين يمسكون بالكتاب. Now يمسكون means to hold on to something. يمسك is to get others to hold on to it. So يمسك is to hold on to something. Yumassik is to not only hold on to it yourself, but to get others to hold on to it. So what he's saying, subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is towards the end of the story, or at the end of the story of Musa alayhi salam, at the end of the surah basically. In a surah that's talking about indifference, talking about the value of community and the fact that we're only saved through our communities. That salvation only comes through communities, either we sail together or we sink together. At the end of that surah, kind of towards the summary of it, he says, وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ. And those who cause others to hold on to the book. وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ. And they establish their prayer. And this is symbolic in the deen of establishing rituals and establishing his deen, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to a little bit understand the rituals or the wordings in the Qur'an and the symbolism behind them, what he means by them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aqamu salah is not just establishing a personal relationship with Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is correct and 100% true, but it's also establishing rituals, meaning establishing his faith on earth, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of the relationship with him. So two things. Alladhina yumassikuna bilkitab, those who get others to hold on to this book, and they establish the rituals appropriately. Inna la nudi'u ajra al-muslihin. Indeed, we will not forfeit them, the reward of those who are reformists. Al-Muslih is someone who brings reform. Someone who, Salih is someone who is pious, good, who's functional on their own. Muslih is someone who actually helps others. Someone who brings reform for others. So if you see, he didn't say وَالَّذِينَ يُمْسِكُونَ, those who hold on to the book. إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الصَّالِحِينَ. No, that's not what he said. But there's no ayah like that in the Quran for us to refer to. The ayah in the Quran is this one. يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ. Those who not only hold on to it themselves, they make sure others hold on to it. And they establish it. They establish the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appropriately as it should. Those people will not be forfeit their reward. Because those people are called muslihin. We need muslihin. We need muslihin. People who are willing to reformists. People who will see mistakes and deficits and will go and fix them. For the sake of the group. Those who will hamalatu, as they call them, hamalatu furud al-kifaya. Those who will carry the communal obligations on behalf of the rest of people. We don't have a lot of those. We don't have enough of them. We need way more in order for us to see change. We need more people who are willing to carry that responsibility on behalf of the group and perform islah, actually reform, fix problems, fill in gaps. Take care of deficits or challenges that people are struggling with. We need that. That's how we survive. We don't survive via you holding on to the book yourself and you're a salih, you're a pious person by yourself. No, We survive by you tumassik, yumassikuna bil kitab. You actually take the book and you make sure people hold on to it firm. You strengthen their grip on the book and you help them establish the salah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forget your ajr as a muslih. All the prophets in the stories of A'raf were muslihin. People who brought reform. Awful kayla wal mizana. وَلَا تَبَخَسُوا النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحِهَا وَلَا تَقْعُدُوا بِكُلِّ صَلَاةٍ تُوْعِدُونَ وَتَصُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِهِ وَتَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. You find Shu'aib coming saying, this is what you have to change. Change one, two, three. Same thing you find in the story of Nuh and Hud and Salih and Lut. All of them, they came and said, this, you have to change these things. And they didn't listen, so they were punished. But the people who did that made it. In all these stories, the prophets themselves made it out. Them and those who stood by them. Those who understood that this is the story. This is the piece of the puzzle that you have to understand. You don't sail on your own. You only make it if your society makes it. So your focus has to be not just taking care of yourself, but your community around you. Your focus cannot be that I'm just making sure that I take care of my own deen. Your focus has to be I'm taking care of my own deen and the deen of my community. And if there are problems, if there are egocentric approaches, if there are people who are egocentric in their approach towards the deen and it's causing failure of the community, then I have to go and help and fix that so that we have unity, so that we have collaboration, so we have togetherness and oneness, and that we get over ourselves and focus on the bigger good, which is the strength of our society, because we won't sail alone. You're doing great by yourself? Awesome, good for you. How is your society doing? Not too good? Doesn't matter. Your success doesn't matter. Islamically speaking, I'm speaking what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about. It doesn't matter. You have to be muslih. You have to be وَالَّذِينَ يُمَسِّكُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ. People, you're pushing that book for people to hold on to. All right, let's do ayah 187. Surah Al-A'raf.
يسألونك عن الساعة أيان مرساها قل إنما علمها عند ربي لا يجليها لوقتها إلا هو ثقلت في السماوات والأرض لا تأتيكم إلا بغتة يسألونك كأنك حفي عنها قل إنما علمها عند الله ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون.
This is a very important ayah. It talks to us about يوم القيامة. It's one. It's a cardinal one that everyone should be very much aware of. يسألونك عن الساعة أيان مرساها. They ask you about the day of judgment or the hour. It's called the hour in the Quran because it's the hour, the moment of judgment. ساعة means moment as well. ساعة أيان مرساها, the moment of judgment, the hour of judgment. قل, say this is your answer. إنما علمها عند ربي. Exclusively, the knowledge of this timing is with our Lord. No one else knows. لا يجليها لوقتها إلا هو. The only one that will bring it to its time, that will present it when time comes, the only one that has the ability to do that is Him, سبحانه وتعالى. ثقلت. Heavy it is. في السماوات والأرض. This moment is very heavy within the cosmos and on the earth. It's very heavy when it happens. Everything suffers. Everything struggles with it. Everything fears that moment. ثقلت في السماوات والأرض لا تأتيكم إلا بغتة. It only comes to you all of a sudden. Only comes suddenly. This is the Quran. This is what the Quran says. I'm not going to repeat things I've talked about before regarding a lot of the narrations that we have that talk about Armageddon or the apocalypse or talk about the end of time. I am very happy with what the Qur'an tells me about Yawm al-Qiyamah. I think what the Qur'an tells me about Yawm al-Qiyamah is more important than narrations that we may struggle to authenticate, verify, validate, and properly understand sometimes. And the effect that they have on us in most cases is quite negative. He says, لا تأتيكم إلا بغتة. It only comes suddenly. That's the only way it comes. You don't notice. In the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, تقوم الساعة ورجل يلوط حوضه فلا يصل اللبن إلى الحوض. The day of judgment occurs and a man has within his hand a little bit of lebin. Lebin is like the white cement, that the stuff that we use in homes. So he's taking it and he's trying to close a hole in a basin that he has. So he has it in his hand and he's bringing it to the basin and he doesn't make it. وَرَجُلَانِ افْتَرَشَا ثَوْبًا يَتَبَايَعَانِهِ فَلَا يَتَبَايَعَانِهِ وَلَا يَشْتَرِيَانِهِ. And two people have in front of them a piece of clothing, a garment. And they want to buy and sell. They neither buy nor sell. وَرَجُلٌ أَتَى بِاللَّبَنِ إِلَى أَهْلِهِ فَلَا يَصِلُ بِهِ إِلَى بَيْتِهِ. And a person is carrying a bucket of milk, taking it home. Doesn't make it. وَرَجُلٌ رَفَعَ لُقْمَتَهُ إِلَى فِيهِ فَلَا تَصِلُ إِلَى فِيهِ. And a person takes a little bit of food that he wants to put it in his mouth, and it doesn't make it into his mouth. That's how يوم القيامة happens. It happens and it ends things immediately. لَا تَأْتِيكُمْ إِلَّا بَغْتَ. All at once. Just like that, it's over. That element is what we're supposed to be living by. That makes every moment valuable. يَا أَخِي الْكَرِيمُ وَيَا أُخْتِي الْكَرِيمَ. That makes every moment valuable. If يوم القيامة was seen as something that will happen way down the road, there's lots of time. You didn't read? Oh, still we have this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Then you're not understanding the Quran properly. The Quran is saying it can happen any moment. Any moment. And the interpretation of what Ya'juj and Ma'juj is, and the interpretation of the Naqa, and the interpretation of all of these interpretations will be explained to يوم القيامة. Your understanding of it is that it'll happen anytime. And because of that, life is valuable and time is valuable. So you live it well. The moment you, because this is what happens, and don't lie, you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. See, everyone knows what I'm talking about. That if you feel like it's not happening soon, you relax. You sit back, yeah, Sheikh, it's gonna, do you have time? No, you don't. Listen to the Quran, you don't have time. You don't have time. Time you don't have. Time you have now. You have right now, that's it. That's all you have. لَا تَأْتِيكُمْ إِلَّا بَغْتَ. It comes like this, it just ends it right away. When you think like that, you feel, I have to get up, I have to change today. But then I tell you, no, still you have to wait, this is going to happen next, all right, then I have time. And then you sit back again. Based on what? Who are you going to listen to? Listen to the Qur'an. لَا تَأْتِيكُمْ إِلَّا بَغْتَ. يَسْأَلُونَكَ, they ask you. كَأَنَّكَ حَفِيٌّ عَنْهَا. As if you're the one who is knowledgeable about it. صلى الله عليه وصحبه وسلم. He said that about himself, right? When Jibreel came and told him at the end of that long hadith Jibreel, قال متى الساعة؟ فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام, he was asked about الساعة, ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل. The person that is being asked about it is not more knowledgeable than the person who is asking about it. I don't know. If you know, you know, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. If him, عليه الصلاة والسلام, if he's saying that, then what are we doing? قل إنما علمها عند الله ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. Say that the knowledge is exclusively in the hands of Allah, but most people don't know that. Most people think that they don't. Think about Yawm al-Qiyamah that way, it'll change your life, I guarantee you. Let's do ayah number 17 of Surah Al-Anfal.
فَلَمْ تَقْتُلُوهُمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى وَلِيُبْلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْهُ بَلَاءً حَسَنًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jazakallahu khair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to the people, to the Sahaba, after the Battle of Badr. And what he tells them, and this is obvious in Surah Al-Anfal, the laws of victory. And I shared all these verses, by the way, throughout the 10 khutbahs or 9 khutbahs that I did, where I covered these laws, or the majority of these laws. And I covered this ayah at least twice. And he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَمْ تَقْتُلُوهُمْ. You're not the ones who beat them. You're not the ones who took them out. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ قَتَلَهُمْ. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who did. Okay, we accept that piece. Makes sense? I understand what you mean by that. Ya Rabbi, it was all through you. النَّصْرُ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. We accept that, no problem. But then he clarifies a little bit more. And he says, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. And you did not throw your arrow. So ramayt is referring to the bow and arrow and the action of letting the arrow go. So you did not release your arrow. When you released your arrow, but Allah is the one who released the arrow. But now, it's completely confusing. So what does this mean? وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ. Ramayta is throw. Let's translate it as throw, just to understand like linguistically what's being said. And you did not throw. When you threw, but Allah is the one who threw. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. It denies that they threw, and then confirms immediately that it didn't happen when it happened, but Allah did it. So it denies it happened, then it confirms that it happened when it didn't happen, and then it talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what he's talking about is just a matter of understanding the context and the tenses. وَمَا رَمَيْتْ إِذْ رَمَيْتْ. Ramayt, the first one, is hitting the goal, is hitting the target. So when you let the arrow out, that's one action, right? In order for this to be meaningful, it has to hit a target. If I let the arrow go in a context and I send it to the moon, who cares? I didn't hit the target. So when you talk about doing something, there's the initial action, and then there's the actual reaching the objective for it to actually do something. So the first one, وَمَا رَمَيْتْ, is talking about the objective. And the second one, إِذْ رَمَيْتْ, is talking about the initial action. So it's not you who had the arrow hit the objective when you let release the arrow. وَمَا رَمَيْتْ, that's what he's saying. You didn't hit the objective, you didn't hit the target when you released the arrow. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made sure that the arrow, when you released it, hit the objective, hit the target. All you can do in life is let it go. Is practice hard for a long time, get a good quality bow and a good arrow, and focus and then try to make sure you do it well, and then you have to release. You have to release. You have to let it go. And then where it hits after that is, you can't do that. You can't control that one. That one's beyond you. And that goes for all of life. All of life. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. But why are we doing this then? Just hit the target yourself. وَلِيُبْلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْهُ بَلَاءً حَسَنًا. And the reason this is occurring is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you. And you show yourself and you prove yourself. بَلَاءً حَسَنًا. You prove yourself to be someone who does the job well, who put in the full effort, who tried their best. وَلِيُبْلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to put us in moments where we have to prove ourselves. He can achieve the goal anytime he wants. Anytime he wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Anytime it can end. But this is for you. This is for you. Let's see what you'll do. People are starving. People are in pain. Let's see what you'll do. He could remove it anytime. Let's see what you'll do. You'll do something. You have to. You must be able to. You can't act like you can't. It's not acceptable for you to walk around acting like I can't do anything. No, you can do something. I'm going to put that there for you. Put it right there for you. Do it. Do something about it. Show me what you're going to do. Anytime I want, I can feed them. Show me. Show me how you're going to try and do your best. Show me. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. When they were successful, they were told, it wasn't you who hit the target. It wasn't you. When you released the bow, it wasn't you who hit the target. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who hit it. The reason of all of this is so that you're tested. We explained it to you at the beginning. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The purpose of all of it. Let's see how you'll do. Put in your full effort. He will decree subhanahu wa ta'ala within his universe whatever he wants. Inna Allah sami'un alim. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to all, and he's all omniscient to all that's happening. When he's watching, he's listening. He's seeing. Go ahead, do your thing. Let's see what you're going to do. It's important that you see the world through the lens of this verse. It's important to see the world through the lens of this verse. He can do whatever he wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will. He has. He is. It's just about the situation that you're in and what you're going to do about the circumstances that you are facing. That's all. There are personal circumstances and there are national circumstances and there are international circumstances. What are you going to do? And when it works out for you, remember, when it works out. This ayah is talking about when it works out. We are so far behind this ayah, it's not even funny. We haven't even tried yet. You have to try first and fail a couple of times. And then you'll try and it'll work. And once it works, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. So we're three steps behind what this verse is talking about, unfortunately. The Sahaba at that day weren't. They tried in Mecca and they failed for 13 years. For 13 years, they continued to try and it didn't work out. And they went through struggles and they went through difficulties. And then when it finally worked out and they finally were successful, and they prevailed over Quraysh, they were told, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ. It wasn't you. It was Allah. You just let the... It wasn't you. But you did well. وَلِيُبْلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْهُ بَلَاءً حَسَنًا. You guys did well. You stood your ground. Good for you. Good for you. But it wasn't you. That's the mentality. Unfortunately, we're so far away from that being the mentality. But you'll find examples of this in your life on a personal level. So take care of it when you do. Let's do 37. Surah Al-Anfal. Today, preferably.
ليميز الله الخبيث ليميز الله من ليميز الله الخبيث من الطيب ويجعل الخبيث بعضه على بعض فيركمه جميعا فيجعله في جهنم أولئك هم الخاسرون.
So ليميز الله الخبيث من الطيب. This ayah is similar to the one we just recited. And it also gives the same basic reasoning. ليميز الله. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can differentiate. Not for his own self. جل جلاله, he knows. This is the differentiation that we require. We need to see it. We need to. It has to be proven. It has to be exposed. Right now, it's hard. ليميز الله الخبيث من الطيب. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may expose the rotten from the good. I talked about this a couple of nights ago. قل لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث in سورة المائدة. Here he says ليميز. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting these trials, is putting you to the test, is making sure he's giving you all these laws and all these rules that you have to follow so that he may expose the خبيث from the طيب. Without difficulties, everyone's amazing. Without trials, everyone rocks. Everyone's great. When everything is going well, everyone's good. Because they're wealthy, they're taken care of, they're happy, they have no reason to not be. All the shuyukh are great, all the ulama, all the leaders, everyone's awesome when things are well. It's when things aren't. It's when you have to actually sacrifice. And you have to put the prioritize. You have to put the well-being of the group over the well-being of yourself. When you have to swallow your ego, when you have to put your money, when you have to risk your life, when you have to actually stand by those you may not agree with. All of these things are difficult. And if it wasn't for these difficulties, there would be no way to differentiate between a true scholar and someone who's in it for the wealth, between a true leader and a corrupt dictator who just wants the chair, between a Muslim who is dedicated and a munafiq who just is in it for the benefits. It's not my job to point out who is whom. That's not my job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that yawm al-qiyamah. But how can he do that subhanahu wa ta'ala if there are no trials to expose them? If there are no trials, how are they going to be exposed? How do we know? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he comes and tells someone, you're a khabith. You're a khabith. But I never did anything wrong to prove it. No, but I know you're a khabith. I understand, but where's the evidence? You won't be okay with that. You're not okay. And it's not fair to come and say, but fulan is tayyib. But they didn't do anything really. Yeah, I know, but had they needed to, they would have been tayyib. That's not fair. We won't accept that yawm al-qiyamah. That's not fair. There's dhulm in that. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is divine and is... And it's not limited by time or space. It's not fair because there's no evidence, there's no proof. So all of these trials and all of these laws and all of these rules and all ليميز الله الخبيث من الطيب. So he may differentiate for people the rotten and the good. ويجعل الخبيث بعضه على بعض. And then he will take all of the rotten and he will stack it all on top of itself. فيركمه جميعا. And he makes a big unorganized pile. فيجعله في جهنم. Then is thrown into جهنم. أولئك هم الخاسرون. Those are the ones who have lost everything. I mean, there's no dignity to it. The khabith is just stacked, however, unorganized. Just pile it all up and throw it into Jahannam. والعياذ بالله. Just make sure we're not in that pile. That's all. That's all life is about. Just make sure when that stacking has happened, you're not in that pile. That's all we're trying to do. Just trying to make sure that when that happens, يوم القيامة, because all of this khabith, all of this rot, all of this uselessness is just stacked upon each other. I don't want to be in that group. Just try to make sure that you're not in that group, that you've lived a life that puts you in the category of al-tayyib, inshallah ta'ala. Allahumma ameen. All right, let's do ayah 60 of Surah Al-Araf. Al-Anfal, sorry. 60 of Al-Anfal.
وأعدوا لهم ما استطعتم من قوة ومن رباط الخيل ترهبون به عدو الله وعدوكم وآخرين من دونهم لا تعلمونهم الله يعلمهم وما تنفقوا من شيء في سبيل الله يوفى إليكم وأنتم لا تظلمون.
So this is a cardinal or a central ayah in this surah, and probably within this first 10 juz of the Quran. And I do studies on these things. I point out like central verses within surah and central verses within larger clusters. And if you take central verses and you look at them, they're very directed. And they're very specific in what they teach. And this is one of them. Because it's a very clear, and how do you know a central verse or a central ayah? It's the wordings. It's all about the wordings. It's all about the linguistics. What words he uses and how he uses them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the generic form of these wordings and the specifics in terms of the actual action. So there are certain rules. If you follow, you can figure out these verses. وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ. This is a generic command to all. وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ. And prepare for them. مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. All that which is within your capacity. مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. From strength. وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلٍ. From the reins of horses. This ayah is explaining to us that in the context of the Sahaba and with the Prophet والسلام, that bring your A game, whatever it is that you can put together, yeah, from strength and horse, whatever you can put together, yeah, put it together, and then use that to put fear in the hearts of those who show you animosity and those who oppress you. تُرْهِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَّكُمْ. You use that to bring fear upon those who show you animosity and want to oppress you, persecute you. وَآخَرِينَ مِن دُونِهِمْ. And when you do that, it will not only bring fear to their hearts, but to the hearts of others that you don't know about, that are contemplating one day trying to harm you. اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who they are and what they're thinking. And then the ayah ends with قَوْلِهِ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِن شَيْءٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ. Or no? Isn't that how it ends? وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُوا, right? I don't want to mix it up with Surah Al-Baqarah. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And anything that you put forward from your wealth or from your time or from your expertise, al-infaq is when you take something and you use it up in the benefit of someone else. That's what nafaq, something is empty, it's gone, it's not there anymore. Nafaq al-shay, it's not there. That's why nafaq, tunnel, when you go into the tunnel, you're not there, you can't see you anymore. It disappears. So infaq is to make the things that you have disappear in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it means. Whatever that means, your time, your emotion, your expertise, your experience, whatever it is, your wealth, obviously, and whatever it is that you put forward for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ. It will be given back to you. It will be brought back to you again. وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. And you will not be oppressed. It won't be taken away and forgotten about. No, you took it from what you had and you used it up for the sake of Allah. He holds on to all of it. All of it is held on to. Imagine that. Everything that you put forward for the sake of Allah, whatever it was, he holds on to it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's recorded, it grows with interest in the box. Ya yamhaqu Allahu riba wa yurbi as-sadaqat. And your charity, there's riba on your charity. Charity is not all haram. The part of that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does for you is not. Where you give a sadaqah and then he stacks interest on it, subhanahu wa ta'ala, until you meet him yawm al-qiyamah. That's the halal one. So you put your sadaqah and then it keeps on accruing interest until the day you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's halal interest for you. وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. It's not my wording, it's his. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. The concept وَأَعِدُّوا is very important in my opinion. Prepare. Prepare what you can. Prepare. Where you are right now, your preparation comes in the form of knowledge, of mentorship, of advocacy, of wealth, of outreach to Muslims, of da'wah. That's your preparation. That's how you respond to this ayah. Don't listen to this ayah and go buy a horse and put a rein on it and bring it and tie it in front of the masjid. No, your preparation comes in a different form because of the different context. But it's all the same. It still is going to require your wealth and your time and your effort and your energy in whatever field you find is meaningful to you. You have 2-3 minutes left. Can someone do ayah 25? Surah At-Tawbah? What is it? What's ayah 25? Remind me before you do it. What is it? Yes, do that one. It's short enough for us to explain.
لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرَةٍ وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ.
So this very famous verse in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out an extremely important idea. He says, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you success and victory in many, many situations and in many battles. مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرًا. There are many battles and situations where you were granted victory. And then he says, وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنَ. As for the day of Hunayn, which happened right after Fatah Makkah, the Prophet ﷺ knew that Thaqif and Hawazin, the two rival tribes of Quraysh, they were doing some what we call today a Hail Mary yani attempt. They're like, we're going to go all in. Quraysh just fell. Muhammad alayhi salam is just establishing himself. There must be some degree of confusion and tribulation. Now it's now or never, guys. It's now or never. If you want to overtake and overcome Mecca, it's now or never. So they put in all they got. But they went all in to the point where they not only left yani with all of the, they left their homes to fight. They brought with them their wives, children, and all of their livestock. This was a method the Arab in Jahiliyyah used to do, to make sure men didn't run on the battlefield. Because if they ran, they left their families behind to be taken. So they would stay. It was a way to keep people standing. It's very stupid, but it worked for a while. Yeah, there are reasons for them using it. So they went all in. So they there were 25,000 of them. The Muslims were 12,000 on that battle. So this was the best ratio ever. Only half. So they were like, yeah, this is easy. You know, every other battle we won, it was like 1-4, 1-7, 1-8, sometimes 1-10, 1-15. This is not mu'ta. We don't even know 1-what. This is going to be easy. وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. When you became vain because of your numbers. فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. And your numbers offered you nothing. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. And you felt the earth was closing in on you and you couldn't breathe. ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ. Then you ran. You ran that day. And it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace that brought you back and allowed you to actually be victorious at the end of it. This ayah points out, never ever let anything that you have go to your head. Ever. No, don't let anything that you've achieved or anything that you have or any situation that you're in or any success or victory or whatever, do not let it go to your head. The moment it goes to your head, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He loves you, He'll pull the rug from under you. If he doesn't want to do you a favor, He'll let you do it. If He subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show you mercy, He'll pull the rug from under you. And if He doesn't subhanahu wa ta'ala, He'll let you continue. Believe that you are what you are not. And He'll let it go to your head more and more, to the point where you'll never understand ever again what you really are. And that's the fear that we should all carry in our hearts. I hope that was a benefit to you. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. جزاكم الله خير وبارك الله فيكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. يلا أذن العشاء. يلا.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن